This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. All right, it's 6 minutes after 6 o'clock, the 23rd of May, 2019. Get your day off to a good start. Are you ready to get cracking? Fumi Mashiro is here, Sia Sangweni is here, and we are looking after you for at least the next 2 to 3 hours. Are you ready for that?
Oh, yes.
Yes, very nice. So Pumi was just telling me, her son, Kanejo, I'm going to blow the trumpet even if you won't. I think this is so great. So how old's Kanejo now?
11.
11 years old. So for 8 months, he's been growing his hair so that he could donate it to someone who's got cancer as a wig. So he's been growing his hair out for one of his friend's moms?
Yeah, they have something about love, strands of love or something like that.
That's beautiful. So he's been growing his hair, and Pumi was complaining the other day about how unmanageable it was. And then, you know, I didn't know that he was growing it out for her to make a wig, which is just unbelievable. I mean, you know, a kid at 11 to be as thoughtful as that. I don't think at 11 I even knew how to be thoughtful about anything. You know,
Of course you did.
Well, I don't know. I think back and I think I was probably a moron. I'm fairly sure I was a moron.
Oh, man.
What a sweet child. He really is.
I don't know what this campaign is called. I'm trying to find the name of it. He just came home. And look, okay, people will know black hair is an experience at the best of times. And this is my child, so he's got I just found out that, like, the coarseness of black hair also has a grading.
Oh, really? Right?
Yeah, it has a grading. Apparently, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
He has very coarse hair.
Oh, okay.
It's what, when I was little, people used to call me kafirar.
Oh, my God.
It's like proper tough hair. So it's been a journey for me, too. I think, you know, if anything.
So he's got extra, I mean...
Hairs with love. That's what they call it. Hairs with love.
Okay.
And they usually, they go to schools. You know when they have that cancer shave-a-thon?
Yeah, of course.
That's what the shave-a-thon is about. It's harvesting hair to create wigs for people who've lost.
But he had cornrows. I mean, his hair was like, and for any kid to have the patience to grow their hair for 8 months. I mean, I need to shave a beard off after 3 weeks. That's the longest I've ever been. And it never really grew that long anyway. And if my hair gets longer than from the base of my finger to the tip of it, then it's time for a haircut. I'll walk over corpses to get my hair cut by that stage. It's terrible.
Dude, I didn't know. I actually didn't think it'd stick it out. Mm. I thought it was like it was a phase. It was to irritate me and whatever. Especially when I then got him into the cornrows, because I was just like, I'm not looking at this hair no more, guy. Mm. I'm not looking at this hair like this. I'm not
having
a fight with you every morning about like combing your hair, all of that. Because, you know, Afro comb, like it's a pick. It's
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And when I said cornrows, I then thought the first time he had his cornrows done, I thought he was going to be, this is it. Because cornrows are a painful experience.
And it takes how long?
It takes forever.
Yeah.
It takes forever. We did spend 4 hours in a salon once.
Oh, my God. Goodness.
I know.
For a kid, that is torture.
And for little boy, because the motivation's different for him, right? Mm. Little girls like are motivated at the end of it all, like you're
gonna
pretty,
have something to show
hairs,
for it. Yeah,
you can
yeah,
put
sure.
ribbons in it, it's a thing, right? But for him to stick it out, and he stuck it out, huh? Every now and again, every 3 weeks in that hair salon, having that hair, like the coarse hair, afro combed out.
Ay, ay, ay.
Look, he's seen it through. You're raising a bit of a rock star.
He
there,
did. So and yesterday we had the harvest. It was a whole thing. We had the...
Makes it sound like a sacred ceremony, the harvest. You put him on the altar.
Oh, Pumi just showed me a picture.
It was a thing.
He showed me a picture
The girl who's getting his hair,
mm-hmm.
I was there, and the way that they do it, these people that do this wig, is they also record all of the various people who donate
right
the oh, hair wow. so that you know where your hair went to and whatever.
And who received, and they can tell you who they got it from. And
yeah, right. So it's, you know, it's not just because I did.
That's
also
beautiful.
It's a thing.
And just the fact that it's such a long-term commitment is beautiful.
And
it's
one of the committed like volunteers is the head girl from St. Stithians.
Oh.
So she was there with her deputy. I think her name, I forgot her surname, Zanele someone, and her deputy is Chloe. I forgot. But such amazing young women. Yeah. They're both in matric.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, the future's all right, huh?
Mm,
the
I think
kids
we'll be
are
okay.
All right.
Yeah, I think, we've spent a lot of time around kids. Sia was at Brescia House yesterday.
Yes.
With a whole bunch of kids, too. And I heard they were very impressive. And just like at My Future 4.0, you spoke to a lot of kids, too.
Mm.
These are smart, optimistic, driven, engaged, sensible young people. Again,
and not brats.
Not brats. Not like yeah. I honestly don't know.
Surprisingly so.
If I think back, they compare very much more favorably than our generation. So tell me what you,
yeah,
what you saw.
I echo your sentiments absolutely, Sispum, because I found myself saying to one of the group of the ladies yesterday, since it was an IT career workshop. So it's anyone who's interested in the future of computers, IT, and wanting to find out more about that.
Right.
I said to some of these young ladies, you are here on your own accord. Like, you were not promised marks for coming here. You weren't promised like money for coming here. You weren't promised a selfie with Kim Kardashian. You are here to spend your time on an afternoon to learn more and to empower yourself. And I think
it
that is
started
awesome.
At like 3 PM and finished at 8-9 at night, right?
Yeah, and we left only at like 6 because I was already like a timeout.
The only way you would have caught me at school beyond school time is if I had some extramural I loved, which was rare.
Hmm.
Or if there was something I was forced to be there at, you know, you have to come.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, this is amazing. So they all went to this thing and you were chatting to them?
Yeah, chatting to them, finding out what they're interested in, what they're doing already at school. A lot of schools nowadays are incorporating the likes of coding and IT into their syllabus. Like, this is what? We just had like 30 minutes computer time a week. And here they are, they know Java, and they were giving us these programs like Scratch. I sat there just like a deer in the headlights going, okay, you know a lot. But it was really fascinating to get a gauge of what education is like in the country. And I think it taught me as well just to be aware of a lot of generalizations that I think a lot of us fall into as South Africans. Like, oh, no, education in this country. And blah,
we
blah,
do
blah.
Because we see, you see, again, this is where the news media
it's
has.
It's so easy to fall into
such
that
a responsibility
trap.
Here. And honestly, I sometimes wonder, because obviously bad news used to be the way that they sold newspapers. And these days there's clickbait and all this stuff. But I was talking to two people yesterday who I see maybe once a year, once every year and a half. And they both said to me, a guy and a girl, they were both like, you know, we don't listen to the news anymore on radio. We don't watch the news on TV. We don't read the news in newspapers or on websites like News24. We just don't care anymore because it's all just so depressing. And that's not their reality. They get up in the morning and they don't see that this bad news and this political stuff and anger and hatred, and they actually see like things getting better.
Yeah, because
and we can look at the macro indicators, we can look at the economy, and we can look at, and there was this very disturbing story that came out yesterday about how we are losing black professionals. I don't know if you saw this,
mm-hmm.
but according to Sitlem Tiane from the Department of Home Affairs, South Africa is losing more black professionals every year, and they're all going overseas. But you read these stories and you hear these stories and you think, uh-oh, well, that means everything's gone for a ball of shit. But what you've got to remember is that there are two forces which are stronger than anything else.
Which are?
The one is technology, which is improving in leaps and bounds and is enabling people in all places and in all forms to improve themselves and to add value to the economy. I mean, you know, I wrote about this just yesterday. Google, Facebook, Twitter, Uber, Amazon, Microsoft, these things did not exist 20 years ago in the way that they do now, right?
Mm.
they filled a gap in the market that wasn't a gap before. You know what I mean?
Like, I wasn't even there.
The cake is not just this big. Like, we've got to start thinking about the fact that all of those companies which make up the NASDAQ, they didn't exist. These are not they're not developed forms of General Electric or Ford Motors or any of those old companies that were the multi-million dollar companies of their era. These are not for add-ons to that or morphs and transmutations of those companies. They're not. They're brand new things. And around the corner, these girls that you were talking to yesterday at Brescia might be the ones who discover some new app that opens up a space, that solves a problem, that creates value, where before, you know, the cake just gets bigger and bigger now. Mm-hmm. Before, we thought it was only this big, and we have to slice it up into such tiny pieces that everybody just gets a minimum wage. And that's not the way it is anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, the economy can be, for every person, there can be five times the economy there was 20, 30 years ago. And that's tremendously positive. So the news has got a responsibility to stop making kids look dumb. And this includes us, by the way. I mean, we often report news that is, you know, just depressing and miserable. And look, sometimes it's true and you need to know it. You don't want to be an ostrich with your head in the sand. But there's also a responsibility on us to report and to let young people talk for themselves about what their situation is. Because it is getting better.
Mm.
I don't think so.
And I love the fact that they were also unashamedly aware of their dreams, what they're working towards, the opportunities that they have, just even having choices in 2019 is something to really giddy up and do a hallelujah dance about. Right now, you can decide to get up and move to the other side of the country. You can move
side of the world if you want to.
You can decide to change careers at any age. You can empower yourself in any way. Choices are amazing.
Your parents and your grandparents couldn't have dreamed of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not at all.
So the two things that I'm really cross about this morning. You want to hear about them? So get them out of the way.
Oh wait, can I also just finish the topic from this school visit yesterday? I will have to say, I did not embarrass you.
Oh.
Even though there were girls from Oprah's school.
Oh, yesterday. Good. Oh, yeah, yeah. What happened? Did you go up and ask them for Oprah's number? What did you do?
Oh, Lord. I thought we got over this when you were there last year.
Oprah Chopra? No.
Let's just be clear. This is not Oprah. It's just girls who attend Oprah's school. But Sia's so excited to be close to the name Oprah that...
Oh, I...
Were you hyperventilating?
Lost it internally, but I just said, keep it cool. Because I was chatting to, there were probably 12 girls in front of me, and out of the corner of my eye...
You saw their uniform.
I spot that green uniform.
I didn't even know what color it was.
Oh, it is green because green is Oprah's favorite color.
Oh, boy.
Then I see the O on the lapel... That looks like a rising sun. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, see, this is it. Don't lose it now. And they saunter past me, and I think, how should I approach them?
Saunter or sashay?
Oh, yes. No. Saunter's like they just glide over the grass that was there. And I said, how do I sound cool?
Yeah.
I'm like, should I comment on the fact that their hair's braided because Oprah believes all of the girls should have braided hair there?
Right.
Or should I? And then I thought, no, you know what? You sound like a bit of a freak. You are not going to be that guy.
Because
I know why your hair's braided. Yeah. I thought, no.
Why do the girls all have to have braided hair?
All of the girls either have braided hair or you leave it naturally because, you know.
Sounds like a bit of a brainwashing institution.
No, yeah. But as you were talking about the, you know, this politics of hair at the beginning of the hour, Oprah believes that all the girls shouldn't feel that pressure. So it's either you're just going to leave your hair as is, no fancy hairstyles, or everyone is just going to be simply braided. Yeah.
Well, all right.
So what's your egg?
So two things. Number one, I don't know how you feel about this, but I watch a lot of YouTube videos, especially at night when I'm, you know, getting to bed. And like, that's where I get a lot of information from, and there's interesting stuff. And
that you know, YouTube rabbit hole.
Sure. And once you go down there, you could watch like 15 videos, and then you're like, okay, now I'm tired, now I want to go to sleep. And I know it's not the best thing because of the blue light and all that stuff, but here's the thing. These ads that they now put in the middle that you can't skip. I am so close to downloading one of those ad blocker things, even if it costs me something.
Yeah, you just have to go to YouTube Premium.
Because I promise you, add it up, and it's a couple of minutes of your day, and it's interrupting the stuff that you're there for. And none of these ads are relevant to me. They're all about games that I'll never play.
You can skip it, man. It gives you like 4 seconds, and then you skip it.
Well, no,
those 4 seconds also, are critical.
There's also those ones that they insert that you can't skip. The yellow bar goes across.
Oh, Lord. Mm.
Anyway, so that's the one thing that's really pissing me off. And advertising's got to change. Advertising has got to change. This stuff, they keep telling me that I'm, it's a world of targeted advertising. Well, I'm not a guy who plays these games. So you're wasting your time. Every one of these games that appears on my phone, I have no interest, and I will never download, and I will never play, and they are boring, and they come up on my Instagram feed. So I don't know what info they've got on me, but it's wrong.
We're looking at you, Head of Ad Focus Awards.
Yeah, exactly. So that's number
Can
one.
Can you do something?
Look, advertising,
It's just they're directionless, and everybody talks at these conferences, and they talk about when they're doing their sales pitch. They're like, oh no, advertising is becoming really targeted, and we've got big data. We can help serve the ads that are relevant to those people. Well, clearly,
I sit in those conferences.
Not. And aren't you bored with it? Because it's not true, right? When last did you have an ad that was totally relevant to you pop up? It is as much of a gamble as putting an ad on SABC One and hoping that someone who cares about that product sees it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talk around like artificial intelligence in marketing and tagging and all. But what it still does is it still creates a profile of an individual. So your profile, Gareth, is one that says white male in this age group most likely will.
Well, that sounds like what Favut would have done with us. With all due respect, is that not what the old apartheid regime used to like to do with us? Put us in boxes.
And then what they're hoping to do is...
Yeah, I think I'm a gamer.
All of the kind of stuff. And also, it's based on the kind of content that you're watching. So whatever it is that you're watching on YouTube is also sending feedback signals that say, this guy is very likely to be interested in this type of
stuff. So I watch a lot of music videos. Uh-huh. I watch a lot of science videos. I watch a lot of those educational things. I watch a lot of like trailers for movies. But none of that
so
stuff...
So tech nerd.
Well, no, you see, YouTube hasn't cracked it. Facebook and Google have cracked it.
You reckon?
I will.
Do you get relevant stuff?
Yeah. There are times I'll Google something and then next thing it pops up on, the sidebars of my Facebook timeline, referring me to, an area of restaurant, a restaurant in an area I was Googling. And I'm like, why are there more suggestions?
Okay, but here's
like that?
The point that
but
I was
YouTube,
getting to.
Not at all.
So. You're actually pissing me off. If you're the product that's advertising to me in the middle of my YouTube video, you're making me angry because I was ambivalent and apathetic about your product before. Mm. But now that you're interrupting and forcing me to watch some sales pitch about your stupid game or whatever it is, I'm actually aggressively anti you. So it's having the opposite effect that advertising is meant to have. It's not warming me up to your product,
And that is a failure of the ad itself. Because that's the thing, right? The one thing that through all the years that I've been in advertising, one of the things that we know for certain is in terms of effectiveness is ads are more effective if they are something that the consumer seeks out, if they are entertaining, if they're, over and above the informative, if they're also entertaining, if they're what David Ogilvy called a smile in the mind, right?
Sure, that's right. Yeah,
a smile in the mind, baby.
But Pums.
But that's the thing, and so the old stayed. It's a pack shot.
I don't even mind if it's just
hard sale. All of that kind of stuff.
It is all those things. Like if I'm looking for, and I'm obsessed with being organized, and I've got boxes and things going.
So no one is selling you boxes right now.
No, but so occasionally something will come up on Instagram. There was this funny product. In fact, Leanne showed it to me the other day. There's this product that when you pack shirts with a collar, they flatten. This thing, you put your shirt on this thing and it keeps the collar up. Now, it's a stupid thing.
But that gets you going.
But I saw that in an ad before Leanne showed me. I thought, wow, what a clever thing. Now, there was no sales pitch. There was no entertainment around this. There was no... it was just a picture of it on Instagram. It came up in my feed. and it said sponsored at the top, mm-hmm. and I clicked on it because I was interested in it, because that clearly is targeted, and they've seen that that's the sort of stuff that I'm interested in, like little things that make, you know, organization and efficiency and all of that stuff better. So productivity apps and those kinds of things always come up as well. There it worked, and I don't mind that it's just the product. I don't need to be entertained by advertising. My problem is it's actually turning me off things where they get it wrong. It's in a bad way. Like if a washing powder ad comes up, and I don't ever buy the washing powder, I don't care about that stuff. If that comes up, it actually puts me off that company. It does them the opposite of good publicity.
So that's this morning driving here, because I drive with Waze. Whatever time of day it is, I'm quite happy to drive through people's lounges to get there with this little...
Driving through lounges.
What? Have you not been on Waze? Waze will...
Yeah, it'll take you always. The most bizarre route.
I will drive through your backyard if that's what Waze tells me to do. But I am currently so irritated at the fact that you're standing at the light and then Waze gives you a pop-up that says, well, in just 3 kilometers, there's a KFC or Debonair's. Mm-hmm. And it's always food. Mm-hmm. It's always food ones, and I'm just like, really
this is why
and then it also tells you if you go there it will add 10 minutes to your journey. I'm just like,
yes,
well, that's clever, but that's
I'm not
clever
trying to get to the KFC.
That's brilliant, because there could be, and I think they do that with petrol stations too.
Yeah.
Yes,
very clever, because if you're running on empty and you're like, shit, where's the nearest petrol station, and you don't have to put in petrol. It just finds it for you. That's amazing. That's
artificial intelligence.
And they'll show you specials in some places.
That's where the geolocation thing is really clever.
If it's integrated in a smart way, then I really don't mind it.
But also it just pops up and says there is a KFC. And if you don't want to see it, you just click back on the screen.
I don't know whether it's an invasion or not, but to me it seems fairly obvious that the likes of Instagram, for example, would look at who you follow, and they'd be able to map out something more accurate to sponsor or sell to you. I'm still getting pregnancy ads on my YouTube.
Yeah, you see, that's ridiculous.
And then I go, no thanks. I don't need to know.
Ash says, I think the future of advertising is paid placement and sponsored content rather than ads as they currently are. That way, they can give away content for free because the ads are inside of the TV show, or with YouTube, the creator gets the money for the sponsored content. Yeah, you see, that makes a lot of sense, Ash, and you're right. That is sensible, right?
That is also, it's one of those things, right? It's also legacy systems. There are like lots and lots of ad agencies out there who are fighting to stay alive, and ad agencies don't make a lot of money anymore. Mm-hmm. We used to make like 2 minute long Stuyvesant ads, or like,
and you'd make me
shot on location.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Or like mainstay ads for lots and lots of money. And all of that has completely gone away. And so they're still holding on. You know, there's a whole lot of people, and this is always the thing with new industries you were talking about, Gareth. We know this. Like, new industries prop up and the old guard fights to keep the old system alive. Yeah. And that's where advertising is, and it's struggling with that identity crisis. But it's changing. I mean, we'll see coming out of Cannes. There's the Cannes Advertising Awards in a couple of weeks.
Are you going this time?
I have never been to Cannes.
You're
and
joking.
I think I'm over the wanting to go to Cannes.
Really?
Yeah, I am.
But aren't the glory days?
Because it's not exactly. Because the glory days of advertising
Advertising industry used to be.
It's not
so
Mad Men anymore.
Wild. Yeah, and they used to be wild.
Is it like cocaine on cocaine on cocaine?
Big time.
Not yes, always, but lots of booze.
You see, I have a friend who once went and said somehow there was just cocaine everywhere, ended up on some person's yacht at like 3 a.m. and then still had to go and present at like 9.
I have been in advertising. I have been in advertising all my professional life.
And you've never had a Britney Spears cocaine stunt?
I have never seen people doing cocaine.
Uh-oh.
What do you mean, uh-oh? Oh,
and ruining, I have had ruining, a good time in this business.
You are ruining Sia's idea.
That shit ain't true.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of disappointed about that.
Me too. It's not fun.
I've had a good time in this business. I ain't never seen anybody doing cocaine off someone's butt cheek.
Okay. I didn't involve the butt cheek, but it's okay. What is the second thing, Gareth?
Let me just finish with these messages. So here somebody says, YouTube Premium is 100 rand a month. It's life-changing, and they'll give you a three-month trial. So that's the way to skip.
Life-changing. Yeah. Gosh, guys.
Yeah. All right. And then there's a couple of other comments we'll get to in a moment. But this is quite interesting. Talking about news, this is somebody who says, I used to listen to Ben Shapiro every morning. I used to get so angry at the world. My days are much better now without that. These things sap your energy.
It's true.
He says, these people can radicalize you so easily. Speaking as a person who almost became a radical Muslim, these things happen very fast.
Wow.
Mm. So that's interesting too. And then Gabby says, I don't agree with your education point. You were talking about private schools. I'm not so convinced at a government institution you're given the opportunity to learn coding. The elite are a privileged few. That's a very good point, too.
I think that even in government schools, there are lots of problems in our schooling system, but here in Gauteng, we've got Banyaza Lusufi. We love that. And they have done...
He's a bit of an attention seeker, if you ask me, and I think he's probably going to find that he hasn't got a cabinet post next week, and that's going to piss him off. You'll see him go quiet again.
I think he will. But I think one of the things that I've also seen, I mean, I meet a lot of people who are both in government schools and private schools. There are schools that have way better facilities, and being me, and I'm very vocal about this with anyone who will listen, it's an ecosystem. So the parents must be just as involved as the teachers. The idea of it like an SGB is a very important thing. But
what's
you can't just
SGB?
School governing body.
I thought it was students, board.
The school governing body has parents, has teachers, and has students. Tripartite experience. But it's everybody has got to be involved. It's everybody's, you know this about me and everybody being involved. It's the
active
parents' duty.
Citizenry.
It's the parents' duty as much as it is the school's duty, as much as it is the students' duty and the community at large. You can't just like be, you know, always pisses me off every time you hear it in the news. Like there's a strike action in Vuani, right? And what do they do? Torch the school.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's torching the Shabin.
No, exactly where the problems come from.
Like nobody's torching the Shabin. Why are you torching the school? What's going to happen to your kids? Like, hello.
Yeah,
it's everybody's duty.
That kind of thing is almost to me like a like you're caught in this cycle of self-loathing, and that's why you destroy the only thing that's good for you in your community and for your children, because You're angry and you're filled with this righteous anger and you take it out on exactly the wrong target. You know, your own kids. Because they're weak.
So, yeah, I agree. You know, the Brescia houses and St. Stithians and all of that have a certain degree of privilege. But that privilege is also because their parents
are working damn hard.
But they're in it. More than just working hard. They're in it. They show up with the bake sales. They're picking up
kids. And look at they're involved. And look at the growth of like your Advertechs and all of these private schools. Because people realize that, you know, I mean, most parents want the best for their children. But it's very seldom you're going to bump into a parent who's like, nah, I don't care if my kid gets second rate shitty stuff in terms of education. So
people will give their right arms.
That's exactly the point. So they'll send their kids to these expensive schools. Even if it means they have to take on two jobs or whatever else.
Yeah, and I think that's a healthy sacrifice. You know, my sister's considering moving. And now the first thing that's top of mind is school. Wherever I move, it has to be close to a great school for her children. I'm like, oh, jeez. I thought it's about
I'm going to save the. I'm going to save the other thing just now. In terms of something that it doesn't really piss me off. It just worries me because, you know, you hear these stories about like health and germs and things.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's coming up.
Oh, dear.
Let the truth set you free.
There are a bunch of other messages we'll get to just now, and John Flismus is joining us a bit later on when we'll be talking about his latest show, and he'll be joining us, of course, for The Burning Platform.
Whoop, whoop.
The brilliant John Flismus. Okay, some news stories. You want the news? I mean, we were just decrying the news a moment ago, but we've got to pay attention just in case there's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, FOMO. So the first thing you need to know, the Rand has reacted positively to the withdrawal of a few controversial ministers to Parliament. Well, you see how little it takes? One or two people who just do eventually the right thing and make themselves unavailable from the party list. Economist Duma Qabule says that the Rand has, said the Rand has been stronger against the US dollar on Wednesday. Controversial Minister Nomvula Mokonyane asked the ANC to reconsider her parliamentary deployment as chair of chairs. ANC Deputy President David Mabuza also asked not to be sworn in as a member of parliament on Wednesday until he had addressed the ANC's integrity commission after being flagged as unsuitable to represent the party. Remember, Bale Gambete and Malusi Gigaba also withdrew their names from the parliamentary caucus list. So, Qubule says that the markets had responded positively to these developments. So there's some good news for you. Stacey Lee Adams, you remember that horrible story of this little girl. And you remember that the mother was also killed. 6-year-old Stacey Lee Abrahams was raped and murdered in Eastridge. And the woman whose name is being withheld by order of the court was killed in 2015. A Mitchell's Plain man has been handed 4 life sentences for that murder. And the girl's half-naked body was found buried in a shallow grave next to the Christopher Brown's Wendy house in June last year. Brown entered into a plea and sentencing agreement on Wednesday. The 25-year-old was later arrested. Sorry, he was first arrested for assaulting and killing his ex-girlfriend in Khayelitsha in 2015. He also confessed to other crimes following his arrest in killing Stacey Lee. The child was the daughter of his girlfriend at the time and lived with her grandmother across the road. Brown admitted to sexually assaulting the girl twice, strangling her, hitting her with a pan, and placing her body in 2 plastic bags.
I don't know if we need all of that graphic detail. Yeah, well, I think just the headline
Sorry.
Is enough.
Okay, well, don't want to ruin your morning.
That was quite harrowing.
It is. It's horrible.
I didn't even know that story to begin with. We don't need all the detail. Can we just have the big picture?
I hear you.
Thank you.
All right. Limpopo police have arrested a 15-year-old grade 9 pupil for killing a 16-year-old learner at the Robert Machaka Secondary School in the Khamambolo area.
Khamambolo.
Do you know where that is?
Yeah.
Where is it? Like near Polokwane somewhere?
Yeah.
What a fabulous name.
Khamambolo.
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 But you know, not Khamambolo.
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 Yeah, and it's like, you know, in Zulu it would be Kwatukuza.
Oh.
So Khamambolo is the surname, and it's probably like what would the English
so it's where the Khamambolos called? Come from.
Yebo. Right, ha as in at the place of.
Could I have a kwa sanguine?
So you could. But I hate to disturb this lovely talk about words and go back to this ugly story. two learners, a 15 and a 16-year-old.
Yikes.
And the 15-year-old killed the 16-year-old. They had a fight while playing on the school premises. I mean, like, we used to have fights at school, but it never... You know, it was like 2 guys and they got all aggro with each other because they were, I don't know, like rugby players who were fighting over a girl or something. But nobody ever killed anybody. In fact, there's usually not even any blood. So this is very ugly. They had a fight and the suspect produced a sharp object and stabbed the grade 8 pupil before fleeing the scene.
I was about to say, people got stabbed with pins.
Wow.
People got into fights, got stabbed with pins, but that's okay. That's enough detail. Thank you.
Yeah, all
right. Moving
we
on to the
go.
Next one.
Thank you for being the purveyor.
Pumi really is like skimming this morning, but it's fine. It's good. Apparently, this is very sad news for fashionistas. Apparently, the Prada fashion house is to shed fur. They're no longer going to have fur. Luxury fashion house Prada said on Wednesday it would remove animal fur from its collections, joining a lengthening list of designers to make that choice. I suppose for some people this would be very good news.
I have to tell you about the fur thing.
No? So we can go into detail on fur.
Oh, this one is fine.
Because because this is fascinating for me. I was with a client walking through downtown Joburg, right, from one branch to another branch. And on the streets of Joburg, there's lots of kind of secondhand clothing, shoes, all of the things that all these Europeans shed out of their wardrobes.
And they put them
and ship to Africa.
Right. They put them on like racks in the street.
Yeah, they're on racks or they're in large piles. Sometimes you have to dig through a pile to find something really good. But sometimes and there's lots of them, but between Park Station and kind of like Commissioner Street. Mm-hmm. There's a whole section which is like a Fußgänger zone. What's a pedestrian zone, right?
What
which
did you
like
just call it?
Don't worry.
German.
It's like a
pedestrian walk.
Pedestrian zone. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking past, and this one guy has rails of all sorts of fur coats. I'm looking at these furs. I'm thinking, hey, now, if you're like a fur lover, because obviously all of this consciousness in Europe, in the old world, right? People are no longer keeping their fur coats.
They're
so
sending
they've
it
like
away.
Sent it all away. So I'm just putting it out there. If you're in Joburg,
if you are a fur fan, this is where you get it.
If you're in Joburg, goodness. You're looking for that Prada fur coat, and you know,
see us going,
and you're not
going
to spend it. You're not.
No.
Unfortunately, I couldn't stop and like, and also because I'm not a fur person. No. I don't. It never gets that cold here, where you need to be like
well,
in a stark size.
If you're doing a like big Game of Thrones party, you could go there to find your Jon Snow outfit.
Wow.
Yeah, like a Catelyn Stark sized fur coat.
I'm so grateful that there are certain things that just become uncool. And it's for the better of society.
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, Hummers were a cool thing once upon a time?
Some people still think they are, but yeah.
But then
in the
we
minority.
All got to that point where it's not about, yes, we're going to now change the world overnight. But it's like, Hummers, what they do to the environment, actually not cool.
Yesterday, I think it was more like the price of petrol and what it does to your pockets with the Hummer. But anyway.
Yesterday we were talking about homophobia and, you know, decriminalizing it in Africa, et cetera, et cetera. And it's almost now uncool to be homophobic.
Totally
it's not
totally
like,
uncool.
What?
It's ridiculous.
Who are you trying to dictate people's lives? So
except
also,
maybe in Alabama.
But we don't look at them as,
nobody,
go for
nobody
it.
Nobody gets stoned to death there. I'd say our biggest problem is still in like the Arab world. Let's
putting it lightly.
Let's prioritize the areas of greatest concern.
So I also do think something like wearing fur now, it used to be this ultimate sign of you've made it an opulence. Now it's like,
yeah, because it was
can
Joan
someone
Collins.
Tell Zsa Zsa Gabor to leave?
It was Joan Collins in those like epic dynasty, like
the massive hair, the earrings that looked like napkins. Right. It
very
was
very 1980s.
Now it's just not cool.
All right, so well done to Prada then, and then, in one last story that you probably would be interested in, because we're always talking about Facebook here, and maybe you are a Facebook fan, but maybe you're also like we are, where you don't trust Zuckerberg at all. Apparently, they've shut dozens of fake news pages ahead of the EU vote. Facebook has taken down 80 pages spreading fake news or using tactics that appeared unfairly influencing the European Parliament vote this weekend. Hmm. The US-based Avaaz Online activist group said it had alerted Facebook to more than 400 pages and accounts suspected of fueling disinformation campaigns. As a result, Facebook have shut 77 pages and 230 accounts, mainly spreading inflammatory far-right fake news in Germany, Britain, France, Italy, Spain, Poland. I hope they're doing the same with the left. That's all I've got to say. There's fake news on both sides. And if they're going to shut down just the one side, then they're doing nobody a favor. They're just entrenching bad ideas with one side and pushing the other side underground. So be very careful about this, Facebook. We didn't appoint you as the censor-in-chief. We appointed you to let us share our information as we like. And if it's bad information and people are fooled into voting a different way because of it, that's almost better than us being prevented from seeing the opinions of others. All right.
Take a deep breath now, Gareth.
Deep breath. So here's
you're
the
better
story.
For not going into those details.
Here's the story quickly that I wanted to tell you about. Yeah, I'm actually very glad Pumi stopped me with the details. So this is the story. Listen to this, and let me hear what you have to say, all right?
And Friends host Pete Hegseth made a joke about his personal hygiene habits that left some viewers, including his co-host, a little grossed out. Let's take a look.
By the way, this is the most irritating presenting
let's
in the world.
Take a look.
Oh, my God. So it's off one of these websites. I think it's Huffington Post. That's
it's
why
the
it's annoying.
It's cousin of Paris Hilton.
Anyway,
I love it.
Just listen to this, because apparently on your credit card, you have more bacteria than on a subway pole. Just listen. Just listen to this, okay? Here's the story.
My resolution is to say things on air that I say off air. I don't think I've washed my hands for 10 years. Really, I don't really wash my
Someone
hands.
Someone help
ever.
Me!
No, I inoculate myself. It's just not germs are not a real thing. I can't see them, therefore they're not real.
So you're becoming immune to all of the
exactly.
bacteria.
Exactly, I can't get sick.
On the train, I'm going to be honest, I've lived in New York City for 9 years. I do not use hand sanitizer every time I touch a pole. It's just like...
Really?
I don't. Because it's so part of like my ritual, and it's just like I don't even think about it.
No, I do it too, though.
So it's
but
like,
you
I'm
know
not
what?
That
I went back to
I've seen so many... Yeah, like I have...
So here's the story. They did a test. They got in a forensic company to come and check these things. Mm-hmm. Found out they did an experiment testing more than 40 credit cards, 27... bill denominations and 10 coins for germs, and each payment method was swabbed with a handheld germ testing device and assigned a germ score to rank the item on the disgusting scale. The higher the score, the dirtier the item. Spoiler alert, our money is pretty damn filthy, but somewhat surprisingly, credit cards took the top spot for being the dirtiest form of payment, with the front of the cards averaging a score of 285 and the back 317. What are people doing? Putting credit cards in their assholes?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand how that happens. I would have guessed money because it moves from person to person. Your card is just your own. I'd get maybe the machine itself because everyone touches that.
But it's about also where you take your credit card out. It's like at restaurants, lots of people swiping it through the thing.
Okay, so the worst card that they tested came out at 1,206 as the germ count. And for reference, a New York City subway poll scored a measly 68.
Oh, goodness.
1,206. This stuff makes me so nervous. Cash didn't do much better. Came in with an average germ score of 160. That is just 3 points lower than the bathroom at Penn Station in New York City. $120 bill from 2009 scored a 633 on the scale. And coins turned out to be the cleanest currency of all. And you know it's funny, like you always think coins are the dirty ones, right? When you've got coins in your hand, don't you always want to wash your hands?
Mm.
But it's actually coins turn out to be the safest of all. So cards came out with the worst score. A city bike, those bikes that people share in town, came out next worst. Then a McDonald's door handle, right up there. Mm. Then cash, then a park bench, then a parking meter, then a coin germ score, then cards, other cards, then a bathroom germ score, and then it goes down from there. But I mean, isn't that just horrible? So I thought I'd just share that with
people
you.
People these days are just
ruined
being
my day.
Nasty.
It ruined my day, so I'm going to make it horrible
you,
for you as
you've
well.
You've absolutely ruined my day and made me so happy. I have both wet wipes and hand sanitizer.
But is that as an effect of being a parent, or is it just because you've always been a little bit uptight about these things?
Dude, I only discovered wet wipes when I had a child. I was just like, what is these parents holding out on us, holding out with the good shit? But children teach you how like filthy the world is. and so... Because you're actually never quite fully aware. And it's not because you're keeping the kids clean. It's suddenly because you're realizing these little buggers will get you dirty in every little, in every way. And so here I am 11 years later. I'm a much better person for having
had
a child because I've got wet wipes. I've got hand sanitizer. Because it'll humble you. Like until you've had like a 3-month-old person. Like what's the word for jogoza?
Drooling.
No, puking. Drooling. It's like a mini puke thing.
All right,
just
stop.
Play with my gag reflex. Why don't you?
You told me to stop with
why don't you?
With too much detail. Just now, I'm going
to
tell you.
Do you want to continue judging people though?
Is it time for Said by Sia?
Well, just before that, if you want to continue judging some dirty people and their habits, there are two.
Yeah, I don't mind judging them.
There are two internet questions in the past little while that are clearly valid questions, but we can all simply just side-eye them. So you know that whole Yanni Laurel thing that, are you seeing a blue dress or a gold dress?
Yeah.
It's clearly one of those contentious questions as well. Somehow it popped up on a blog and it's just been reposted many times over. The question is, do you wash your legs in the shower?
Hey, I saw that.
There are people who are saying, actually, yeah, get in there, get into the hot, important places, and the legs are just skipped. And that's a thing.
I was horrified.
No, I
that there are people who are actually already in the shower and they are excluding bits of their body from the experience.
But it's not a priority zone, is what I think Sia's saying as well.
See, I hear it in that way.
I use like a shower gel. I don't bath, so I shower. And then I'll use shower gel. First thing, I always start right at the top. So I'll start with hair, face, and if I need to shave, I like to shave in the shower. You kind of just, it's cleaner, it's easier. Then I'll do upper body. Then you check all those hot zones again, as Sarah calls them. And then you do the legs and the feet.
And then to be...
Do you see how every part of your body is mentioned in that experience?
But to be honest, I know then, if people were more honest, some are just like, well, yeah, just let the soap trickle down my body to my legs,
rubbish,
and I don't.
So these people don't wash their, they don't wash
rubbish,
their legs.
Guys, who raised you?
The people who admit that, yes.
What?
Sorry about the droughts, but you know I take baths every single day, and I bath like those old school Lux ads. Sit in the bath.
Oh, my shatena, baby.
Bring up, bring up your legs.
Loofah, Vaslap. Vaslap, guys.
So that was the first one that we can judge. The second question, I just find it bizarre that these questions have popped up over the past couple of days, was, do you wash your chicken before cooking it? So a lot of people have admitted that, it's going into the water in any case, or I'm just going to spice it up, it'll pop it into the oven, the heat will kill germs, no need to wash your meat before you actually cook with it. Can you take your jaws off the floor now?
Pumi is disgusted.
Hey.
So I've never cooked a chicken.
Yes, in his offer.
So what do you do? What do you do, Pums?
People are going to die.
You wash the chicken.
Yeah, well, Baba.
See, I don't know. I've never cooked a chicken in my life. I wouldn't know how to.
You and Tutumbo Weni.
Oh, really? He's also never cooked a chicken.
He was cooking chicken with all of us on Twitter, and we were all horrified. His chicken took 3 hours to cook, and then it looked terrible afterwards as well. Wash the chicken, y'all.
Well, there's salmonella and stuff, right?
Well, Dr.
Wash
Oz.
The chicken, y'all.
Dr. Oz, who we can trust for some medical wisdom, says, no, don't wash your chicken.
Don't.
He says, don't wash your chicken. He says, why do you wash your chicken? To get the bacteria off it, right? But he says, when you wash it, you spray salmonella all over the chicken and everywhere, and it splatters everywhere. Then you put the chicken in the oven, and the heat from the oven would have killed the salmonella anyway. So now you've put salmonella on your salad, which you aren't going to heat up.
God.
And that's how you actually get salmonella.
He probably doesn't wash his legs.
Well, okay. And it's time for Said by Sia. Let's get into this. This will hopefully cheer you up for the morning. Don't forget, John Felismus joining us in the Burning Platform next.
Hey, no, that was...
Yo, what a morning. What a morning. Okay.
Hopefully, I was never ready for this morning.
Hopefully, this will make you feel better and also do a new spin on some news stories that we don't get to hear often. You know, Ebola, scary, horrifying. You know, whenever we talk about it.
I'm more scared of that than salmonella.
Dude, yikes. Blood out of every orifice.
I think let's at least...
Too much detail, Pumi.
Let's at least be happy about this. There's an experimental vaccine that's recently been developed in the Eastern Congo to work against Ebola. And, well, congratulations to the company Merck & Co. because this vaccine is proving to be 97.5% effective at preventing Ebola. Huh. The World Health Organization's Strategic Advisory Group of Efforts, try saying that three times, has permitted the use of the vaccine based on its expanded access protocol for experimental vaccines. Now, this vaccine is already protecting some 90,000 people. This is not something small, folks. Protecting some 90,000 people in the Eastern Congo, where this has been a devastating outbreak zone of Ebola. Now, the vaccine uses a live virus rendered harmless to humans. It stimulates the human immune system to generate antibodies that attack the virus. Mm-hmm. And health workers are following the same ring vaccination strategy used successfully against the likes of smallpox. So they vaccinate those that have come in contact with the disease and also... in contact of the contacts as well. So this is how you're creating the term that they've used, rings of immunization. So right. Let's cross fingers and let's you know, focus on stories like this. Yeah, yeah, already helping some 90,000 people in the Eastern Congo. Let's see how it goes. We know, of course, that Ebola, you know, the Eastern Congo outbreak is now Ebola's second largest after the West Africa outbreak, which lasted from 2013 to 2016. Yikes. So hopefully this continues to be a good ripple effect.
All right.
That's when we come back. Here.
It is The Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's. John Felismus joins us. We'll talk through some of the current affairs that are obsessing certain people and just mildly interesting others. We started our sixth parliament yesterday, and there's a couple of clips that I've got to play for you from that, which were entertaining and hilarious. And it seems that generally the world is an interesting place this morning, so we will not stop at uncovering all those interesting things for you. You can then get to the office today and be the most informed person there.
And if you're in the shower, wash your legs.
Wash your legs and lotion afterwards. Lotion.
Absolutely. Don't embarrass yourself.
This is CliffCentral.com.